Okay, the reading tonight is from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. It's page 1208. Whilst you look for that, I'll formally introduce myself. Hello, I'm Mike. I have been coming to All Saints for about 12, 13 years. And hello if I've not met you before. Whenever I speak here, I always start with something to make you feel sorry for me. I think it's some psychological thing so that you're on my side. So today's one of that is I was up most of last night with a sick child, so I didn't get much sleep. So bear with me. That might impact the talk. If it does, let me know. Right, Hebrews 10, let's read it together from verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Okay, so we're in this together. I don't know if you've realized, by choosing to come and sit here tonight, you're participating in the worldwide initiative called the Church. So why have you come tonight? It's a rhetorical. Please don't shout. Why have you come tonight? What brings you to church? And some of you are probably asking that very question right now. Why have I come? And I think if we are honest, we've all sat through services asking that same question. Obviously not here at All Saints, because they're always a wonderful experience. Sometimes, you know, we come to church out of habit, maybe sometimes out of guilt. But, you know, in this age, we can do everything online. We can listen to sermons, we can talk on chat rooms or whatever it's called now. So why come at all? Now, before you all rush for the exits, I'm sure that we could all come up with some answers to that question. Now, we come maybe to spend time worshipping God, to hear from God, to give thanks to God, and to do that together, to meet with friends, to find friends. There's something important about it being a shared experience. Well, if you're a bit like me, you've probably got no idea. You haven't even thought about why you're here. You're just here. Now, I'm a football fan. And you could ask, you know, football fans why they like to attend matches rather than just watch on TV. And there's something about that shared experience, that sense of unity. It would be a bit strange if you're sat in one of those big stands all on your own. I remember a few years ago, I used to do a job where I welcome people who came from overseas to work in this country. And I remember I had to do a briefing about welcome to Britain, British culture, etc., etc. And I talked about how you might find that British people, British men, I was stereotyping like crazy, sorry about that, were quite reticent with sort of any physical contact. So, you know, just to be a bit cautious before they go up and start, you know, greeting people with bear hugs. So I told them this, and then I took one of these guys round to a friend's house to watch some football. And I don't even remember, it was 15 years ago, England playing Germany, and England ended up winning 5-1, a remarkable night. And just at the end, I remember going home with this guy, and he was just like, "You've lied to me, you've lied to me." I was like, "What are you on about?" He's like, "You were hugging, you were jumping up and down, you had your arms all around these men, and what is all that about?" Well, supporting football is much better together, most of the time anyway. But I'd also say that being a Christian is much better together, most of the time. I'll be honest, I've got up and walked out of church in the past. Just couldn't handle it being amongst all these seemingly happy folk around me, making it feel like I didn't belong. And I'll come to that a bit more. But tonight, I'm going to be asking three questions. Firstly, have you made church your God? Secondly, have you made church all about you? And thirdly, how can you be encouraging others more than you are now? Well, in this passage, Hebrews is generally considered to be written for Jewish Christians who were facing persecution, and it was a real encouragement to persevere. And first off, this passage makes it absolutely clear that the basis of Christianity is that it's between us alone and God. Now, as Christians, we believe there's a God, that he made all things, that he's all powerful, he's all loving, and yet, that we can come into a relationship with him ourselves. It's not that he's picked some special people to do that for us. It's not that he's asked us to elect someone to be our representative who does that for us, which is probably a good thing given this week's development. We're given here a reminder from verse 19 that each one of us is now welcome to approach God directly. No longer does it have to be done through a priest. No longer do we have to go through some complex ritual to be made clean. But instead, due to the sacrifice Jesus made for us by shedding blood himself to the point of death, we can be made right with God by simply approaching him. We don't need anyone else to do this. We can do this on our own at any time. We don't actually need church to make us right with God. And my first key challenge is that actually, have we fallen into the trap that we think by doing church, by participating in church, that in itself is enough to make us right with God? You do hear people being described as, you know, they're a good person, attended church every week, 4 to 5 years, never missed a single service, always sat in the same place, wonderful person. Now, you could attend church very easily. I don't know why I did it in that voice. No idea. I had no idea why I did it in that voice. That's really odd. That must be the sleep thing. We could easily attend church, attend home group, attend prayer meetings, but never actually meet with God. Never enter the most holy place, as it's described in this passage. Because that's our responsibility. And church in itself is not enough. We need to seek God. And could it be that you're not doing this and you've fallen into that habit of attending church and believing that's enough in itself, and basing your faith on what you do? And I definitely think it's possible to base your faith on the tradition of church, on the activity, on the experience of church, rather than on God. And, you know, maybe just coming to church purely because otherwise you'd feel guilty. It's what you've always done. But that whole mentality is like going back to how it all worked before Jesus. And he put an end to that. So tonight, my first point is, do we simply need to just simply approach God, holding out your hands and saying, I've allowed the traditions, the process, to get in the way? But that does still then leave us with my first question, which is, why bother come to church? Because if it's between just us and God, you know, what's the point? And I'm sure you would have an answer to that, because you are here. But that does bring me to my second point, because when answering that question, when you answer that question of why you come, have we potentially made church all about us? In verse 24 of this passage, it says, let us consider how we can spur one another on towards that great hope. Now, we are consumers. We've been conditioned to put, you know, ourselves first. What's in it for me with our choice of, I don't know, phone or clothes or whatever it might be, but also with our choice of church. What's in it for me? Maybe it's got good music, teaching I agree with, great kids' work, runs an alpha program, people were friendly when you arrived. It's got some attractive looking people, and let's face it, that's why we're all here tonight, isn't it? Just have a look around and admire each other for a moment. No, you're not doing that, but anyway. We can choose church because of our own agenda. However, this passage very much says we're called to spur on one another. So instead of what is in church for me, what about asking God, where can we best serve? Where can God best use us? Are we just interested in being a consumer or a giver? Where can God use you to bless others best? And that doesn't just impact our choice of specific what church we attend, but also who we spend our time with or who we think we should be spending our time with. I don't know if you fall into the same trap as me, but I so often have look around to see if I fit in. I'm not a natural conversationalist. I'm a bit awkward in some of my chats before and after church. Apologies. I'm much less insecure about that now than I used to be. But I still struggle to some extent with looking at how I don't fit in somewhere and finding that difficult. And that focus that I bring to that is very much about me. It's on me wanting to be part of a certain group, whether that's in church or somewhere else. But the outcome of that way of thinking is that we can end up then just moaning about other people because we say that they're unfriendly or unwelcoming or cliquey. Which, do you know what? It may be true. It might be true. It probably is in some cases. Because a lot of us aren't very good at talking to people we don't know. And that's not great, absolutely. But I would again challenge that way of thinking is being unhelpful, destructive, and not the way we're called to respond. Because it focuses very much on us as consumers, as receivers. As Jesus reclined at table with his disciples following the Last Supper, he left his disciples with this parting bit of advice. He said, "By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Love for one another. Now, this could be tough to hear for some of us, because we may actually feel very hurt due to other Christians, where it definitely hasn't been loving in the way that we've been dealt with. We may be significantly let down. And sometimes that may be so strong, we actually need to seek some professional help because it cuts us so deep, it's raw. You know, we may have had to even leave a church or other Christians, and that's really tough. What this passage is encouraging us to do, however, is to take control. So if that was you, I'd encourage you to seek support and love from others, and don't shy away from it if it's hurting you. We need to be in a place where we can look at what we can do. Where can I actually help build someone up? How can I look out for those people who don't feel that they belong? How can I ensure that I proactively contribute to improving the lives of others around me? How can I help people get into the most holy place, into full connection with God? We know it's available for all. We know that it's accessible for all. How can we enable others to experience this too? Because we know from those first few verses that we looked at that we can just approach God. It's free access. But I don't know about you or me, but I know about me. I don't know about you. Even though it sounds so easy, I don't necessarily do it very much when it's just down to me. I've been a Christian for many years, but I have to freely admit I've carried a lot of baggage around in that time. I haven't necessarily allowed myself to be cleansed, to be washed, to fully enter the most holy place. So that is where you and I come in. Because what does it actually mean to do church with one another? And I'd say it's about us being real, genuine. And that starts with us being vulnerable, demonstrating that we have need of being put right, allowing people to see behind maybe the front that we present, admitting that we're fallen, however we appear that we've messed up, we need God, life's messy, life comes with burdens and worries. We don't always want to seek God. We feel unworthy. But if maybe someone else was to share that journey with me, it's risky stuff. Letting people see who we really are is dangerous. We don't know how they'll react. Will they run away, never speak to us again? I'm now helping to coordinate the men's support group. Some of you may have heard of it. It was set up by Darius, who used to work for the church here, and a couple of others. And it's a place where we encourage men to come together from the church in a really honest and vulnerable way. It's a place of confession, where we come clean about our addictions to sin, whatever that might be. For some men, it may be pornography or other sexual addictions. But for others, it may be our thought life, our pride, our priorities, our money, food, all sorts of things. But being part of this group, I believe, is transforming. It's not only given me the encouragement and support to allow God to break years of bad habits in my life, but also to find encouragement and support in my understanding and relationship with God. And to know that every week I have someone I can call up and chat about the struggles I've had in that week is amazing. And we're seeing great fruit in that. And we're pointing each other to that most holy place. I'm also part of a home group, another place where we've recently been encouraging honesty and seen some real fruit and growth amongst ourselves and the members of our group as they take off some of the layers and allow themselves to be vulnerable, but also to provide support themselves. Recently, and I won't embarrass them, but we've had members of our home group share their stories, their experiences. By simply sharing their stories, it's been hugely encouraging for us. It's enabled us as a group to grow closer. We understand each other better. We can recognize challenges each other faces better. And simply by being honest and sharing an experience, it doesn't have to be hard to encourage one another. It isn't something you need to attend training or read a particular book to be able to do. Because when we make church all about what we can get out of it, about looking internally rather than looking out at others, we're missing out. A common critique of church is that it just makes you feel guilty week after week, and that's sad if that's what it feels like. I can sort of see why sometimes it does feel like that. But these verses, you know, we need to hear this. Because by coming to church, we're not reminded to feel guilty. We're encouraged in our journey with God. We hear the message that we can enter the most holy place free of charge at any time, without any form of ritual or forms filling in. It's not a message to make you feel guilty. It should fill you with great hope and confidence. What amazing good news. Worth coming to church to be reminded of. You know, when I mentioned earlier that you may feel particularly hurt by other Christians, or do you know what? Maybe sharing your story with someone may be hugely significant for them. By sharing the messy journey of our lives, we can bring about so much fruit in others. And Jesus has chosen his way of building his kingdom, that it's done in a relational way, through encounters. One person meets another, tells them about Jesus, tells them about their lives, and so on. This is how the kingdom grows. We also know the church is described as the bride of Christ. That means it isn't going to be always all smiles and joyful, loving Christian laughter. It's through messy but real relationship that we share. How amazing, how daunting as well it is that we have this responsibility. But what a gift to be able to share this together rather than just on our own. My job in the week is working in the world of care and support. There's a phrase in that sector to use to describe people who have received care, that they are experts by experience. Some of you might be familiar with it. I work in housing people with support needs, such as mental health or learning disabilities, and the people who live in our services are known as experts because they're experienced in understanding what it means to live with support needs and to receive services. But as Christians, we too are experts by experience. We have so much to offer. God wants to use us. God wants us to encourage one another. God wants us to point each other towards the hope that we need. And what's more, his Spirit can enable us. Because if you're just feeling, well, God cannot use you to encourage and bless others, invite him in. Reach out and ask his Spirit to dwell in you, to empower you, and you'll find he'll gift you in ways you've never imagined. Could it be by offering to pray for someone, or by looking to join a home group, or by reaching out for men's support group, or by looking for someone new each Sunday that you can talk to, or by reaching out to that slightly strange Christian at work or college that you always avoid? How can you encourage another Christian this week? The version of this passage from the Message says, let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging one another and helping out. And that's why it's so exciting to be part of a church which is being so creative, such as, you know, the weekends away we heard about last week and coming up next March. We've got the launch party next week as well. What's our part in that? So I'm going to finish just again with my three questions. One, have you made church your God? Is it time to actually step out of the routine of what we've made it and rediscover that holy place? Or two, maybe, have you made church all about you? Do we need to acknowledge that we are consumers and instead we want to change and ask to be focused and enabled to encourage others? And then three, how can you encourage others towards God? What specific actual steps, however small or big, can we take to do this in the week ahead? So if you just take a moment to reflect on those, as you do that, I'll finish by reading out the Message version of this passage so that you can just mull over those questions as I just read out these verses. So, friends, we can now, without hesitation, walk right up to God into the holy place. Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of his sacrifice, acting as our priest before God. The curtain into God's presence is his body. So let's do it, full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshipping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching.